Well, good morning. If this room was filled, I would expect a hearty good morning back. I have with me today a rope. Yes, it is a rope. And for those of you who cannot see me right now, perhaps you're listening, it is a sort of a yellowish rope, and I'm holding it in the air. And you may be thinking, what is this pastor doing? Well, I brought a rope with me today to show that you and I are bound together. We are connected. In God's sovereignty, we have been placed together in this church. And as the local body of Christ here at Cloverdale Baptist, we are unified by God. We are to stand together, ready to do God's will for His glory. Personally, I enjoy a good illustration in a sermon. I enjoy a good visual illustration in a sermon. Maybe a catchphrase, something that will help me to remember what God's word teaches about what I am supposed to do in my life. Just about 2 years ago, in our youth ministry, Overflow Youth, which meets just upstairs in our church building here, we began the year in the book of Philippians. In fact, we began the year in the exact same text that we are going to be diving into in just a moment. It is a text that shows some of the ways that Christians can love and support one another in a church. In fact, it's going to show how Paul's relationship with the Philippians does this. So at the start of our message that night, in the youth room, upstairs, in this very building, we stood around the room, if you can picture it in your mind. Youth standing around the room, and we passed around a rope. Not this rope. This rope's a little too small. But the rope went around the room, each person, two hands on the same rope. And I wish that we could have all been here today and had a massively giant rope just snaking its way through the sanctuary, each person, two hands on the same rope. A visible, tangible illustration of our unity as Christians. But, alas, we cannot. But I am going to ask my brother in Christ, Jeff, to come join me on stage, so at least I can have one other person physically holding this rope with me today. Jeff, I'll just lightly toss that over to you. Perfect. There we were. Wednesday night. In fact, Jeff was there. We were around the room, Overflow Youth, each person, two hands on the rope. And I said, look to your right, look to your left, look around the room, look at the different faces that are here in this room. These are the people that God has sovereignly chosen for you to follow Him with. You have been placed in this church for that purpose. Take a look around. And from that night, a phrase was born. And it's our title this morning. Hold the rope. Hold the rope. And we're going to see from our text this morning the meaning that that phrase can take on. Now you might ask, well, why a rope? Well, quickly, it was something that we were familiar with, that other people, most people have seen used, and it was something that we could spread around a room and each person could hold. That's the first reason I chose the rope. But out of that, I thought of three purposes that a rope fulfills, and I thought tied in well with what the Holy Spirit, through Paul, taught us in Philippians. And the first was this. A rope ties things together. You may say, well, that's pretty obvious. A rope ties things together. A rope can take things that are very different and attach them together. Very different and attach them together. Just as we can be from different places, have different experiences, a rope will tie those things together. As Christians, we have different backgrounds, different experiences. We become unified by our faith in Christ. The second one is a rope can be used to rescue someone when they've fallen, to help them. Perhaps someone has fallen into a pit. Perhaps they're stuck in some quicksand or mud. We can easily throw a rope to them, just as I tossed it to Jeff, and we can help them. As Christian brothers and sisters, we are to encourage, to love one another, just as Christ has commanded. And thirdly, a rope can be used by people working together. I can tie a rope onto something heavy, and if it's not too heavy, I can move it a little bit. But if we have 700, 800, 900 people working together with God's strength, think of what we can accomplish. As Christians, we are to work together for the same goal, advancing the gospel to the glory of God. Be unified. Be there for each other and work together for the gospel. Hold the rope means this. If you want to boil it down, it means this. I'm with you. I'm with you. We will follow God together. We will follow God together. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate your help, brother. Now, I realize that we can't be here together to physically be holding the same rope. But wherever you are, look around the room. Look at the faces of the Christian brothers and sisters that are there with you. If you're alone, think about the people in our church. Think back to when we could be together. Or maybe you've joined our church during this time and we can't be together, but you've met people in online Sunday school or online Connection Cafe, whatever the case may be. Think about those people. Those are the people that God has, in his sovereignty, called you to follow him with. To say to one another, I'm with you. We will follow our God together. We will hold the rope together for God's glory. And you may look around the room, perhaps where you are, I don't know where you are, and you may think, man, I really don't have anything in common with these people. Besides the fact that we're human, really nothing else. We have different interests, different backgrounds, different experiences. Please remember, you have the most important thing in common. You have a mutual faith in Jesus. And that is the uniting factor for us. As Christians, we are called to work together for Jesus. And it will not be easy. In this life, Jesus did not promise us an easy life. There will be tears. There will be hard times. There will be bad days. But together, we will get through them. With God's strength, as he has divinely placed us together in this church, we will follow him together. Hold the rope. In our text this morning, Paul is going to show us five things that we can do together as we are unified to show our unity. Five ways that we can hold the rope together. To say, brother, sister, I am with you and we will follow God together. So let's turn our Bibles to the book of Philippians. If you don't have your Bible, go get it. Book of Philippians, starting in chapter 1. We're going to read the first 8 verses, and then we're going to concentrate on verses 3 through 8. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. The first way that we can be holding the rope for one another is to be thankful for one another. Paul says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Paul begins in verse 3 by proclaiming that he thanks God when he thinks of the Philippian church. Paul has been to Philippi. He has spent time with them there, and so he has a remembrance of them. Why does he thank God for them? Well, if we look forward to verse 5, one of the reasons is for their partnership with him in proclaiming the gospel. The goal of their lives is to glorify God by proclaiming Christ. Perhaps you've been asked this question. What gets you out of bed in the morning? In other words, what is the why of your life? And we see here, Paul valuing, advancing the gospel, living for Christ. He sees this in the Philippians, and he thanks God for them. If you have ever been a part of a team, perhaps here at our church, the majority of the people watching probably are from CBC, or from whatever church you're at. If you have been involved with other people whose goal in life is to glorify God and to advance the gospel, thank God for them. What a blessing. What a blessing to work with a team who wants to glorify God. And you think about them. And yes, Lord, thank you for bringing those people here to labor alongside one another. It is a tremendous blessing. Thank God for them. Thank God for each other. Even thank them to their face. And you're like, whoa. Maybe it's intimidating for you. Maybe you haven't done it before. Thank God for them. What a blessing it is for someone to come to you and say, thank you for serving. Thank you for loving the way Jesus loves. Thank you for working for the gospel. What a tremendous blessing. And if you've had that experience, you know that feeling of joy, of knowing that God has worked through you to impact someone's life. And if you've never gone and said thank you to someone who's impacted you, do it. If you're on a team and you labor together for God's glory, go and say thank you. Thank you. Hold the rope. Tell one another you are thankful for them. Secondly, pray for each other. Pray for each other. Verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. Verse 4 tells us that Paul saw the importance of praying for his brothers and sisters in Christ. It says he prayed with joy for them, not out of obligation. Oh, let me pray for this person. Prayed with joy. It was his delight. When Paul says that he's praying for him, the technical word for that kind of prayer is intercession. A prayer on behalf of someone else. And this is typical of those living their lives for Jesus, isn't it? Not thinking of themselves, but thinking of others. One of my favorite verses, Philippians 2:3-4. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. For those who are living life with the motivation of, what does Jesus want? They will not have that focus of me, 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 all the time, me. It will be looking outward to others. When you put your faith in Jesus, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit comes to live inside us. The Bible says that you are changed, in fact. You're a new creation. You're no longer a slave to sin, but you are a new creation. Recently, I have come to love Colossians 1, verses 13 to 14. It says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness. From the domain of darkness. And transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Yes. And as that new creation, the Holy Spirit produces in you what the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. These are the best things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Some of you said all of those wherever you're watching with me. Paul is praying with joy that is produced by the Holy Spirit, because remember where Paul is. He is not at his vacation home. He is not comfortable somewhere. He's in prison as he writes this. And yet, he is not down in the dumps. He has joy. He has joy. Produced by the Holy Spirit, and he makes his prayer with joy. Joy and happiness are not the same thing. Paul is not necessarily happy about being in prison, but he is joyful. Happiness based on your circumstance, what is happening to you in the moment, but joy, a good feeling produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of the work of God in the Word and in the world. And since God is always the same, that he will never break his promises, we can have joy always, because our joy is not based on changing circumstances, but on our eternal God. Not that we will always as sinners, but we can. Philippians 4:4, later on in the book, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Do you and I, do we have that willingness to pray for each other? And do we do it with joy? We can be tempted not to ask, I wonder who I can be praying for, but instead to ask, I wonder who's praying for me. I encourage you to not look around and wonder, what about me, but to figuratively hold that rope for others and bring requests on their behalf before our Heavenly Father who cares for us. Hold the rope. I'm with you. We will follow God together. How can I pray for you, brother and sister? How can I be holding the rope for you in prayer this week? Hold the rope. Thank God for each other. Pray for each other. Third, advance the gospel together. Verse 5 says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. They were working together for the same goal. And we see it all over Philippians, that Christ would be proclaimed, that the gospel would be advanced. Paul is so excited that the Philippians have worked for the same cause that he has, pulling that rope alongside others who are going for the same goal. And if you've done that, if you've served in a ministry and you're working together for the same goal, you know that wonderful feeling of unity. That feeling of knowing that you are accomplishing God's will together for his glory through his strength. Advance the gospel together. Motivated by Jesus. Part of the body of Christ. Encouraged and joyful. Paul says, work together for the gospel of Jesus. Hold the rope. Thank God for each other. Pray for each other. Advance the gospel together. And fourth, encourage each other. Encourage each other. Verse 6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Wow. A whole book could be written on this verse. This is amazing. There is a profound, comforting, humbling theological truth here in verse 5. When God calls someone to himself for salvation, that's it. That's it. There is no stealing that person from him. It brings to mind those verses in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 to 39. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. There are days when we are discouraged. There are. Maybe more than normal in the last year. But Paul says that he is sure. He is sure. This word means absolute confidence, just as if it was already done. Because in Christ, it is done. Salvation is totally and completely God's work. It is just as certain as if it was already done. And Paul says that he is sure that he who began a good work in them will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Complete belief that their faith is not in vain, that they will be saved for eternity. For eternity. Paul's confidence, much more than human hope. It was absolute trust that comes from knowing and believing God's promise. When one of your Christian brothers or sisters is struggling, remind them of the victory that is in Jesus. Not in a way that's like, well, hey, at least you have Jesus. Not that way. But through whatever circumstance, remind one another that we can joyfully trust God because he holds your future. He has a plan, and there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Salvation is solely by God's grace. Ephesians 1 says he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9, for by grace you have been saved. Through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. It does not depend on you or I. It does not depend on our success or failure. But we know that salvation in Jesus is a certainty. If our faith is in Jesus as Lord and Savior, nothing will separate us. I love that verse, the way it goes. This or that or this or that. Nothing. Nothing will separate us. Jesus says in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. When we are in hard times of trial, this kind of reinforcement and encouragement is so valuable. It is easy for us to become discouraged when we focus on our problems and our imperfections and those of other believers. And those sins should not be ignored or minimized. We need to work on those things, confess them, and do those things, of course. But neither should they be allowed to overshadow the amazing reality that God will eventually bring the work he has begun to completion. Hold the rope. Thank God for each other. pray for each other, advance the gospel together, encourage each other, and fifthly, love each other. Paul says, it is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Wow. In these verses, Paul is expressing a Holy Spirit-produced love for the people of God moving together for one purpose. He says this is the right way. It is the right way for him to feel about them. In verse 7, he tells us that they have been supporting him in his imprisonment as he seeks to advance the gospel. And no doubt the Philippians had stood with him to help him in suffering and to meet his needs in the ways that they could. And he wanted them to know about how fully and genuinely he loved them. And this is the love that God gives to his people to show each other. Remember, we just talked about the fruit of the Spirit. Love is part of that fruit. And if you're a Christian, God gives you his love to show to others. Hold the rope. Tell people the love you have for them as a brother or a sister in Christ. Show your love by helping each other, asking how someone's doing, and actually being serious and willing to hear the answer. Hold the rope. You and I are unified because of our faith in Christ. Let's be thankful for each other. Let's pray for each other. Let's advance the gospel together. Let's encourage each other, and let's love one another. And brothers and sisters, it is even more crucial to do so at this time when we are physically separated. Hold the rope for one another. Say together, brother, sister, I'm with you. We will follow our God together. Hold the rope. Unified by Christ for his glory. So how do we apply this? And I struggled using that word even. I think we've applied it through the whole sermon. Those 5 points, you go out and do those things. Awesome. But let's add two more. Let's add two more. First, remember, you are not alone. You are not alone. The greatest commandment is recorded in Matthew 22, 36 to 40. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. First of all, we know that we are never alone because God is always with us. Our omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God. And the second greatest commandment tells us we also are to have people around us. Verse 39. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Love God, glorify God, and obey him. Seek to do his will by loving others. By loving others. Hold the rope for those around you. We were designed to be in community in our church. And I know it looks and it feels different right now. But we are still to be there for each other. In fact, Paul in Galatians tells us to be there for each other in service. Galatians 5:13 tells us, you, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. John 13, 34 to 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If you or I have been involved at our church, and we maybe are just coasting along, letting others take care of the things, not getting involved in ministries, not bothering to reach out as Pastor Rob has been encouraging us. That needs to stop. That needs to change. Step up. Be a part of this community for God's glory. Grab a hold of that rope and hold the rope for one another. We were designed to work together. 1 Corinthians 12 actually describes us as the body of Christ. The body is one but has many members, just like a physical body. Our parts were not made to be working on their own, off in isolation, but to be in union with the other parts. The Bible even tells us that we are given gifts by the Holy Spirit to function together. This is His plan. Let's be unified. Let's hold that figurative rope together, unified as the body of Christ, saying, "I am here for you, brother. I'm here for you, sister." And we will follow God together. Hold the rope. And the second and final application point, take action. As we go through life as a church, we have the privilege of doing life together. Holding the rope means that I'm here for you. We will follow God as one. We will love God and others together because God in His perfect wisdom has placed us here for His glory. I will be thankful for you. I will pray for you. I will work for God's glory alongside you. I will encourage you. And I will love you. All of these things I will do because of what Jesus has done for me. Because He has saved me. He has placed me here in this church. As Colossians says, He has transferred me from the domain of darkness and put me here in the kingdom of His beloved Son. Because of Jesus, I'm a new creation and a part of the body of Christ. And together we will follow Him with great joy because of who He is and what He has done. He gives us the strength and the motivation to do this. So with His strength and His leading, let's hold the rope and follow Him together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your church. And we thank You for what You have done for us, wretched sinners, Your enemies though we were. We thank You for salvation. We thank You for our brothers and sisters whom we are called to follow You with. Lord, unify us. Help us to be doing all of those things that please You as we go through this time and beyond. That we would be those who are loving, encouraging, praying for, advancing the gospel together. Everything You have called us to, Lord, make us a faithful church for Your glory. And Father, as we come into a time celebrating communion, as we remember what Jesus has done for us, would You be pleased? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.